Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Classic Stephen King short story Jerusalem's Lot turns into new epic saga Chapel Wait Sunday night. Executive producer Donald DeLine joins me next. Did you know that for some time, smart TV sets and devices have offered at least one network geared to the senior population? Well, in this case, the network is Saltbox Television, and there's more original content from Saltbox en route to its fans, including an America's Got Talent hunt all their own. Here, Chief Executive Jerry Gehring, next half hour. Also ahead, it's back to the Jeopardy board for a new host, a classic trivia question, the latest on Henri for the East Coast, and a Gene Roddenberry up. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Verbal. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. Good to have you aboard on this Friday afternoon for the program about TV's current and future now in year 15 as of this month. 80 degrees top of the hour here in the New York metro area. And before we go any further, let's get to the latest on Henri, which is threatening the East Coast. Right now it is a tropical storm, and according to the Weather Channel, it is moving northwest at 7 miles per hour at 65 miles per hour winds. The eye of the storm is right now east of Georgia. We understand that already a tropical storm watch has been issued for Nassau County, Long Island, most of Nassau County, and southern Connecticut, closest to the New York City, New York State border. A hurricane watch has been issued for Nassau, Suffolk County, for southern Connecticut, Rhode Island, including Providence, Nantucket, and Cape Cod. Now, according to the latest tracks, it looks like the storm is going to move from being a tropical storm over the next 48 hours to being a minimal Category 1 hurricane with top winds between 45 and 75 miles per hour. Right now, the eye of the storm, whether it is a tropical storm or a hurricane for Henri, is expected to hit somewhere in Suffolk County, Rhode Island, Suffolk County, Long Island, between Sunday night and early Monday morning. Also, you should know that as far as rain is concerned, New York City and vicinity are expected between 2 to 3 inches of rain, 2 to 3 inches of rain between Saturday and Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning. Connecticut, Rhode Island, 1 to 2 inches. Boston, 1 to 2 inches. Incidentally, Boston is not out of the woods, so if you have anybody listening up there, you might want to stock up on goods because the storm may come right at you in a bullseye right after it hits first Long Island somewhere and then southern Massachusetts. So once again, Henri right now is still traveling northwest, 7 miles per hour, 65 mile per hour winds, eye of the storm, east of Georgia, that's the state. It is still moving northwest. It is not a hurricane. It is still a tropical storm. So you might want to check in between now and Sunday with the Weather Channel, local news channels, local TV stations, AccuWeather for the latest information as it comes forward. I'm sure that many of our Blog Talk Radio hosts will also keep you informed throughout the weekend, those of you on the East Coast, where Henri is going and how it is going to evolve. And, of course, as we all know, weather can change. These tracks, these hurricanes can change rapidly between now and when it's supposed to hit landfall, sometime Sunday night and Monday morning. Great guests coming your way over the next hour. We invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call in, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers get any way you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is open, and that's another way you can get in touch with our guests and yours truly. Just use it, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, as always, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. And all you got to do for that is click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, tune in screen, follow the instructions, we'll be live with you. Donald DeLine from Chapel Wait, premiering on Epic Sunday night, will join us live from Calgary, Canada, after these news notes. It's back to Mike Richards just being Jeopardy's executive producer. Mike, 9 days after Stoney named Richards new permanent host of the Emmy-winning syndicated game show, Richards gave up the role after published reports of alleged controversial remarks on a podcast series he hosted during the 2013-14 season. In a statement to Jeopardy staff, Richards acknowledged that, and I quote, "moving forward as host would be too much of a distraction for our fans and not the right move for the show," unquote. Taping of this season's episodes conducted yesterday with Richards as host was suspended this morning. Stoney will kick off a new host search next week while booking guest hosts for an undetermined temporary spell. There will be more details on the Ladder Initiative, and they'll be announced next week. Now some quickies before our first guest. Yellowstone will begin Season 4 on Paramount Network November 7th. The prequel, 1883, and new Taylor Sheridan-created series, Mayor of Kingstown, will debut on Paramount Plus later this fall. Peacock is bidding farewell to its upgraded version of Punky Brewster after one season this spring. Switch at the top of Netflix's Magic, The Gathering Toon series, Joe and Anthony Russo out as executive producers, Jeff Klein in. And ABC News will take over the creative control of Tamron Hall's daily syndicated hour, entering its third daytime season, September 6th. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, one of the key executive producers of Chapel Wait, beginning Sunday night at 10 on Epic's Donald DeLine. Donald, welcome in.
Thank you so much, Simon. Nice to be here.
And it's great to have you with us. Donald, there have been so many adaptations, both movie and TV, over the years of Stephen King's work. He's one of the great authors around, one of the great genre authors around. What makes a good Stephen King adaptation for you, whether it's on TV or film?
Well, I think, first of all, it has to start with a great story and great characters. And Stephen King is such a master at writing really compelling psychological horror and draws you in such a strong way with tone, sense of place. And so I think those qualities are the things that make the best adaptations to television and film, and his material always has those in spades.
The Wrap just came out about a half hour ago with their review of Chapel Wait, and they said that your series has a great sense of intrigue, and more importantly, it strikes you like a stake in the heart and doesn't let up. What made you and the people at Epic decide to take this short story, a very famous short story from King, and turn it into a big series?
Well, we, I was talking to Michael Wright, who runs Epix, which is, you know, our streamer that, you know, made the show. And he said, you know, there's nothing right now in the gothic kind of horror space that's out there. And I'd really like to find a great, smart show that does that. And so I started researching and reading and seeing what of Mr. King's wasn't yet spoken for, because obviously you go to the master first. I found the story. It turned out the rights were available. Gave it to Epix and the Filardi brothers, our writers, and we all read it, and the story was just so rich and had such a great mythology and had this great family drama, which was as relatable today as it was in the period setting. It was, you know, set in the 1850s in Maine, and we just said, this is just ripe for a great series. It just had great characters, a great setup, a great surprising place in where the story took you, and we thought we can expand this and make it into 10 episodes and make something really special out of it.
Jason and Peter are the Filaris you're talking about, brother duo. What advice or guidance did you give them to make this the series that it is?
Well, I think what we did was we took the original story and then expanded upon it. Obviously, if you're making it, you know, a short story into a series, it needs some additional elements to make the story, you know, expand to that format. So, you know, the lead character, which is played by Adrian Brody, in the story, he comes to this house, Chapel Wait, that he inherits just with his manservants. We then said, okay, let's give him children to increase the stakes, because strange things start to happen in this house. And if it's this character with his children, it'll up the stakes. We made him a recent widower, so that also upped the stakes, because for the first time he's trying to be a father and on his own parent these children. And to help him, we added another new character, which was in the form of a governess played by the wonderful Emily Hampshire, and we hired her to play the governess. So she comes in as a character that lives in this town and has a different perspective on things than the Boone family.
And talk a little bit about working with Adrian, because Adrian, many people know him as an Academy Award-winning actor, someone who picks his roles very, very critically. He's not only involved as the actor, but also he's involved as executive producer. What does he bring in both places to the series?
Well, obviously, first and foremost, as an actor, he brings just immediate credibility. He's such a brilliant actor. Any character he inhabits, he does it with such honesty and such truth and such commitment that he immediately makes that character come to life in a way that is just real and engaging and really holds the center of the screen. So he brought Charles Boone to life in a brilliant way. He gives the character gravitas, humanity, and you can't ask for a more skilled actor. So that's a given right there. And then as an executive producer, Adrian is so smart and so analytical. He looks at everything over and over again and really tests it from all angles. So he would weigh in with questions, thoughts, and ideas regarding not only his own character, but the story overall. And his insights and his, you know, analysis was always so right on the money and made the show better every time.
Chapelwaite, based on the Stephen King short story Jerusalem's Lot, it premieres this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Epix, the pay cable network, available on cable and satellite all over the place. We are speaking with executive producer Donald DeLine. He joins us live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And if you have a question or comment this half hour with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next week, we'll be with you 3 days of the week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all at this hour. We're still in flux a little bit on some of the guests, but we will tell you in a moment about who we have on Wednesday. It's a return trip for two people who a number of years ago startled the world of television by doing, for the first time since the mid-1950s, a live science fiction series with audience interaction called Orbital Ducks. We'll tell you about those people coming up in a little bit. They'll be with us as some of our guests on Wednesday. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Once you've got all the parts together, cast, crew, writers, how long did it take to get filming? And did you go to Maine to do the filming, or did you go somewhere else?
We filmed in Nova Scotia. The entire show is filmed in Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm. And that's got to be as atmospheric as any place on Earth.
It is so beautiful and so wild and unspoiled and untamed and foreboding, kind of like the coast of Maine. You know, the story is set on the rocky coast of Maine, and you know, that's how the story opens, and it's so evocative out of the gate when you read that. And we went to Nova Scotia thinking, you know, well, we're not quite sure. None of us had shot there before, and it's very close longitudinally and latitudinally to Maine. And it feels very similar in terms of the terrain, and it worked beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Did you involve any of the local citizens from Nova Scotia to be either sort of extras in the cast or work on production?
Oh, yeah. We had local crew. Our production designer is from Halifax, Nova Scotia. He had worked on a couple of Robert Eggers movies, The Witch and The Lighthouse. We had a local line producer and unit production manager, and they brought all their, you know, kind of stable of people that they work with all the time in Nova Scotia, and they were wonderful. We had a great local crew. We hired many local actors out of Halifax. There's a theater company there, and it really worked out beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Talk about bringing together the city of Preacher's Corner, that is the hub really of Chapelwaite, and also the actual place itself, the house itself, the ancestral home that that Charles Boone, played by
right.
Brody, is involved with. What kind of things did you do and your crew do to sort of bring out the moody atmosphere of the town, and especially the moody atmosphere of the house?
Well, we found a local historic house that we use for the exteriors of Chapelwaite. And strangely, while we were shooting there, we learned all these stories that there is a whole history that the house is haunted. So it was kind of a perfect thing to go with our story, and it created a great mood on the set, and I think it really helped everybody kind of get into character, as it were. For the interiors of the house, Chapel Waite, and for the town of Preacher's Corners, our brilliant production designer and art department built the entire town on a beautiful patch of land that overlooked a river, and we built the entire town of Preacher's Corners. I mean, they were extraordinary in what they accomplished. And then we built all the interior rooms of the house on a set nearby. And so we had, you know, all the main rooms of the Chapel Waite house, the basement, the kitchen, all the bedrooms, and they recreated all the period details. I mean, with oil lamps, moldings, millwork, you name it, it was quite extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. When I was reading about Emily Hampshire's character, Rebecca Morgan, who is this ambitious young woman who had left the town for college, then comes back,
yep.
It sounds like there's a lot of Jane Eyre in this, and maybe a little bit of Dark Shadows, because I remember Victoria yeah. Winters, who was the person who was going to be the governess of the house with
yep.
Barnabas Collins and the whole Collins crew, that there's a little bit of Dark Shadows. A little bit of a lot of gothic, a lot of Jane Eyre, Dark Shadows kind of thing. Would you say that, or were you going for like a different kind, with her character in particular, a different kind of mindset?
No, there are absolutely shades of that, and we talked about Dark Shadows and all those great things that are its precedent. And we wanted a woman in the character of Rebecca Morgan that was a very kind of progressive, forward-thinking woman in that time. You know, our family that comes with Charles Boone is a mixed-race family. He is a sea captain and married a Polynesian woman. So his kids are mixed-race. They're treated with a lot of hostility and prejudice by the local kind of narrow-minded townspeople. The one person who sees them quite differently is the character of Rebecca Morgan that Emily Hampshire plays. She is a very smart young woman who was fortunate enough to go to college, which not many women did at the time. And, you know, so her character has left the town of Preacher's Corners, gone off to get higher education and come back to help her mother deal with some things that are going on. And when she does and she meets the Boone family, she sees them quite differently and treats them quite differently and is very fascinated by them and can see how intelligent and unique they all are. And so a great relationship developed between she and the children and she and Charles Boone, which develops into a kind of, let's say, ill-fated romance.
Mm-hmm. When you're expanding a short story like Jerusalem's Lot, which has a finite, beginning, middle, and end in a short
yep.
time span, short reading span,
mm-hmm.
into a multi-episode saga. How do you deal
yep.
with accelerating or decelerating the pace of the plot, the pace of the characterization, how you deal with cliffhangers? What are sort of like the unique challenges in terms of the story that you had to deal with that was sort of like your biggest obstacles or your easiest obstacles in both cases to deal with?
Right. Well, it's a really good question, and it's a difficult thing to do. First, the writers, broke down all the elements of the story as it stands, written by Stephen King, and then brought in all these new elements, you know, as I said, these new characters, the children of Charles Boone, the governess, and then the backstory, there's mythology that's presented about the Boone family in Stephen King's story that gives you certain information but doesn't go further. So then they went way back into the history of the family and the mythology of what this is. It a curse on the family? Is it an illness the family has? What is it that's gone wrong with this family who's met with a lot of bad fortune? And there's a lot of superstition and suspicion by the townspeople surrounding this family. So we went into all the stuff that we could answer questions and really play out the drama of things that are only hinted at in the short story, and we could really now dramatize that stuff and play it all out on screen. So, you know, they first make an outline of where they think the different story points will break down over the 10 episodes. Then you kind of look at that and you say, well, you know what, let's make this big reveal the the end of the third episode, not the end of the fifth episode, because we want a slow burn, but we don't want the audience to have to wait that long. So you keep redesigning and re-outlining it and looking at it and parsing it out, and then you finally come up with a structure that you feel is a structure that will give the audience enough questions at the end of every episode, but also enough new information to keep them engaged and excited about coming back. There's quite an art form to it.
You're hearing Donald DeLine. He's one of the executive producers of Chapelweight, the Stephen King adaptation that begins on FX this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. FX available on most cable and satellite systems as a premium service. You are hearing Donald. He'll be with us for a few more minutes, live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Great, great place, by the way, up north. And if you have a question or comment for him, ring it in now, 646-652-906. By the way, we want to welcome Ami Higgins. Amin Higgins, love you, Simon. Thank you, Amin. If that question or comment, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906, and we'll get to it ASAP. A few years ago, an independent television studio had a very unusual idea. Let's do something that has not been done since the days of Space Patrol, Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, Captain Video and his Video Rangers in the 1950s. Do science fiction live, and if that's not enough, do it with audience interaction. The project was called Orbital Redux. And if you missed it when it first came out several years ago, you can now see it on Dust, that Gunpowder and Sky science fiction channel, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, with some interesting post-production added on. Wednesday on Tomorrow Be Televised, in our special edition, you'll meet the people that we had on several years ago to talk about Orbital Redux, the co-creators Lillian Diaz-Pribit and Stephen Kalko. Stephen Kalko and Lillian Diaz-Pribit. They'll be with us to tell us what's happening and whether, in fact, their production company will try another live science fiction series in the near or far distant future. I think you'll really enjoy this interview. But be with us. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. We're on our three episodes next week right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Donald, did COVID rear its ugly head at all in making the series?
Well, it definitely affected us. I mean, when we went into Nova Scotia to shoot, we all had to quarantine for 2 weeks. So we landed and were taken to our quarters, and we weren't allowed to come out of our rooms for 2 weeks until we did the full quarantine and tested negative. So it presented challenges that way, and any actors that we brought in from out of Nova Scotia had to undergo the same thing. The Nova Scotia, which is in the maritime bubble, at the time had no active COVID transmission because they had been so careful about making everyone quarantine when they came in from outside of the Nova Scotia bubble. So thankfully, we got very, very lucky, and during our production, we didn't have one case of COVID on our production. We had to undergo protocols. We had to wear masks on set every day, all day. We had to be tested 3 times a week. There were strict procedures for hygiene and social distancing and all that. So, you know, there was a lot of protocol in place that we had to deal with that we wouldn't normally have had to deal with on a regular production.
Before you did this, you were involved with another master of suspense and the unusual and sometimes the horrifying, M. Night Shyamalan, on his Fox TV series Wayward Pines that lasted 2 seasons. Was there anything you took away from that experience that you brought to this experience with Chapelweight?
Just, you know, I love adaptations of books, and that was also, I had read a novel form before it was published in galley form of Wayward Pines, and that's how I acquired that material. So it's like I'm always reading, whether it's new novels or things that just have been around that nobody got the idea to make an adaptation out of. And I just find that literature is just always a really, really rich source for dramatic material.
Again, I want to welcome Amy B. Higgins into our chat room. Thank you for the acknowledgement, Amy. We love you back also. And again, if you have a question or a comment for Donald, make sure you put it in the room in the next few minutes, or use our phone, 646-652-2906. Has Stephen King had a chance to see the finished product yet?
Yes, and he, you know, Stephen was involved with us in blessing everything we did all along the way. You know, when we had our outline for the show and the overall arc of the 10 season of the 10 episodes, he read that and was good with it. Each script, you know, he would read the scripts and give us his sign off. And he's quite happy with it. And he was a wonderful partner for us to work with.
Final question. If you get a second season of Chapel Waits, do you want to stay with the same characters, or do you want to make this more of an anthology series where we stay in the same town and we go to a different part of the town and different characters and different situations?
That's a great question. Currently, the Filardi brothers do have an idea for a second season, which would take us to a new town, but would still involve Charles Boone. So it's a, you know, we bring some elements with us, but then we may go to a new time period with a whole other cast of characters besides Charles Boone. That will make more sense when people see the show.
And again, I want to give credit. That's Jason and Peter Filardi, who are the writers and also executive producers, by the way, of the series. And no matter what, Donald, what's next for you? Another series for Epics, someplace else. So what's in your development pipeline?
Yeah, I'm right now in Calgary, Canada, shooting a Billy the Kid.
Donald, we just lost you. Donald, call back, 646-652-2962. I think what he was saying is that he is in Calgary working on a Billy the Kid project, which I believe is going to be a series for Epics. So, Donald, we lost you for a second there. If you can give us a call back, 646-652-2962, please do, and we'll let you finish your thought. And in the meantime, while we wait for Donald to call back. All right, Donald, let's get you back on. For some reason, Donald, you're back on. Go back to what we were saying about Billy the Kid.
So sorry. Yes, we were disconnected. I'm shooting currently in Calgary, Canada, Billy the Kid, which is an 8-episode series. The story of Billy the Kid, written by Michael Hirst, who is a very prolific, very brilliant, successful writer. You may know him. He wrote all 89 episodes of Vikings. He wrote The Tudors, all episodes. He wrote the brilliant movie Elizabeth prior to that. So it's quite an interesting project.
And look for it. I believe that will be on Epics also. Do you know when that will be? Is that going to be late this year or 2022?
That would definitely not be this year because we won't be finished with it yet. So it wouldn't be until 2022, but I don't have any date yet from Epics.
Well, we look forward to maybe having you back on to talk about that. We'd love to have Michael on, too. I love his work. I like his work on the series on Showtime, and then, of course, his great work with History Channel on Vikings. I believe there's also a Netflix sequel called Vikings Valhalla, which I believe will be happening.
Right. That's correct, yes.
And I think that's going to be either later this year or definitely in 2022. But as for right now, Chapel Waits premieres this Sunday night on Epics. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time this Sunday night. Epics is available on cable and satellite. So check your local info where it is available in your area. For more details about the service online, go to www.epics.com. That's www.epics.com. Chapel Waits is produced by Epics Studios, and Epics, of course, is owned by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Donald DeLine, executive producer of the series, thanks again for joining us. Congratulations on the early great reviews for it, and all the best with the series Monday night. Hopefully the beginning of a great long run, and a pleasure to have you aboard. Again, we'd love to have you back for Billy the Kid, and bring Michael along, too, for the ride.
I will do that, and I really enjoyed this, Simon. I appreciate it very much, and I will look forward to hearing what you think of the show. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised and hopefully really enjoy it. And I'll see you again with Billy the Kid, I hope.
Absolutely. Take care. All the greatest, Donald. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You as well. Bye-bye.
Donald DeLime from Chapel Waits on Epics joining us live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, where he is now shooting Billy the Kid, coming to Epics next year. More tomorrow will be televised coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Speaking of classics, like we did with Stephen King, there's another classic that's going into movie theaters very soon, and that is the new version of Dune from the great Frank Herbert, that fantastic science fiction classic. And if you don't want to wait for the film to come out, how about checking out an audio form through Audible.com? Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from. And remember, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, Tune Radio, and all of our podcast locations. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, 1 month trial of the service, great customer service from Audible, who's powered Amazon.com, and while it lasts, health and wellness information could make a difference in your life or someone you know. And if you're already an Amazon Prime member, great news for you, two audiobooks for your trial of one. So all it takes, go to audibletrial.com/televised and get that trial and free audiobook or two today. When we come back, classic trivia question of the week. But first, there's a service for the seniors out there called Soapbox TV, and they're getting ready to do some very big things. You'll hear back from Jerry Gehring live from Essex, Connecticut, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tuning.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, every weekday, BTR is your home for Kings in the Morning. Join Jay King and his wonderful crew for all sorts of fun things, music, entertainment, conversation at its best. Monday and every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, Kings in the Morning, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Abbott, I'm with you along for the ride. Happy to have you aboard. And I believe still in our chat room is Amy B. Higgins. Thank you, Amy, for staying with us. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room that Amy is in, SimonApple0418. Either way, we hear you and we get you involved in the conversation. Also coming up later this half hour, a up segment on our segment that we did last week, a week ago, with the son of the great creator and producer of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry. Some very nice news coming off that interview, and you'll hear about it later this half hour before the top of the hour. Back in the early 1980s, there was an entrepreneur named Ken Silverman who had this wonderful idea of doing a television network aimed at senior citizens called CineAmerica. He went to every cable trade show around. He went to publications like the ones I was writing for, Cablevision, Cable World, Cable Marketing back in the 80s, and trying to promote the service, and he could not get it on the air. Well, where Ken Silverman fell short, another service has gotten into the mix, and it's now getting the mix on smart TV devices like Roku and Amazon Fire TV, soon coming to a smart TV service near you. It's called Soapbox TV, and joining us live from Essex, Connecticut to talk about it is its co-founder and chief executive officer, Jerry Gehring. Jerry, thanks for being here.
Simon, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. What's been your road to getting Saltbox on the air?
Well, I say, as a silver lining from COVID, I must say, the road has been one of careful planning and to involve many people along the way. My background is as a legitimate producer on Broadway and in the West End, so I have a lot of amazing artists around me. And when COVID hit, honestly, we were just all put out of work. My wife has 30-plus years as a performer in the older adult communities, and she was out of work too, of course. So we decided to put all of our resources together when we discovered there was no streaming service, no outlet for creativity and programming for older adults specifically. And last summer, we decided to gather the forces and put it together ourselves, and we've been on that journey ever since.
And initially, we talked about this before we went on, that this was a service that originally was designed to be presented only in senior communities, which you find all over the United States, certainly on the East Coast, whether in places like New Jersey, where my parents are right now, Florida, et cetera, et cetera. How did you decide to go from just being in senior communities in sort of a closed circuit fashion to being available to anybody, anywhere through a smart TV set or a smart device?
You know, it's really, in this day and age, Simon, you know, we follow the numbers as everybody does in our business. And when we were initially in almost 5,000 senior communities around the country, and we have an average of about 200 residents, if you do an average of all those communities, which you can do the math quickly, that's about 1 million people that had access to watch and we were on their devices. That led to the fact of people calling us saying, hey, their friends are at home, can they watch? And at that time, and still, we are in those communities only. So it was clear that there was a need for this, and that's when we immediately started rebuilding our coding so we could go on to OTT devices. And we launched on, as you mentioned, Fire Stick and Roku at the beginning of July, and other devices are around the corner.
Amy B. Higgins is in our chat room, and she has a question for you. That she is taking care of her mother. Her mother has dementia. Is SoulPak something that she would be able to use with her? Whether it having her see it by herself or perhaps working with her to understand what she's seeing on the screen.
Wow, what a great question, Simon. Let me give you a little bit of background to answer that question. I have to say I have learned so much because I did not come from the streaming service. I did not come from the TV industry. I came from the legitimate industry. So I've learned a lot along the way. What I immediately learned where there are many at-home caregivers that are their professionals or there are those that care for family members. And resources for those people are far and few between. If you have a challenge and you have a question, and you can't call your doctor or you, what do? YouTube this? Do you Google it? Well, we decided we're going to help answer that question. So we reached out to a lot of aging professionals, a lot of the top people in the industry that are both advocates and educators, and said, listen, we want to create content for you to put you on Saltbox TV so there are resources. So our listener's question is right on point. Not only can she go to Saltbox TV and find different resources for dementia care, one example is Memory TV, a partner of ours that creates 28-minute segments of video and audio. Depending on the afflicted's time period during the day, if they wake up and they need to focus, there is a program for that. If they're trying to wind down at the end of the day and they're upset with anxiety, there is something to calm them down. There is also programs out there that talk about the different levels of dementia and Alzheimer's. So we have put all of these also on Saltbox in addition to, you know, movies and TV shows. So we like to think of ourselves, as we've learned, as a one-stop shop for those that just want to find great entertainment or also as a resource for those that are caring for older adults.
Jerry, what are some of the entertainment and information programs that run regularly on your service?
You know, I've got to say there is quite a plethora of these, and we've ended up putting them in categories. You can think of the ones that you could imagine they'd be on. There's some classic movies. I think the most popular movie right now is The Last Time I Saw Paris, and that is one that we have traditional classic sitcoms, I Love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke. And ironically, back to your last question, a lot of those shows are also watched by those that have memory problems because there is something in our brains that truly like to connect to those long-term memories we have. We have shows on there that are music shows that truly connect for those Alzheimer's patients also. As you may know, Simon, in our brains, and I've learned this during this process, is that dementia, it gets rid of our short-term memory, as you know, and what is the last thing to go in recall is music. And so when people go and listen to some of our shows, that also helps with those that have those challenges. We also have longevity and well care information ranging from knitting shows, quilting shows, leather shows, you know, how you want to go and watch race cars. If you also then want to take a look at different aspects of advocacy, if you want to talk with somebody like Atipa Snow or others that really go out there and try to fight ageism, that is something we discovered, and you know this industry well, Simon. There is an undercurrent of ageism in the entertainment industry. You know, somebody pitches the show and they feel it's too old for the demographic they're shooting for, or the writer's too old, or the creative team. Well, I discovered that firsthand as we put in Saltbox and we got into the industry really deeply into this area. And that's when Ed Asner came on. He was like, Jerry, I can't find great parts anymore. My friends can't find them. My writers who write shows and they get turned down. And I said, well, you know what, Ed? We're not going to. Come and support us. And with Ed came all these other great artists. And these are people above the line and below the line that have come on saying, you know what? There's not only a need for this for the general community, but it's us, for us as artists and creators, we need this also. And it's just been such a learning curve in both areas.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, Amy B. Higgins wants to thank you, Jerry, for your answer on the dementia question, and she is going to download to her. So we're going to have that call. And I believe we do have a caller, so let's see if we can take the call. And here it is.
Okay.
Hello, you're on Tomorrow Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi there. My name is Vinny. I'm calling from Westchester County.
Vinny, thank you very much for coming on. You're on the line with Jerry. Go ahead.
Hi, Jerry. Vinny. I work at a retirement community in Westchester, and I'm sure you know COVID has really kind of done a number on our budget and what we can spend on activities. I haven't gone to your site, I'll be totally honest. What does this cost? Because it sounds too good to be true.
What does it cost? Was that your question?
Yep.
Well, I have to say that has been a concern of ours from the very beginning. As you know, I mean, my parents are in their early 80s. And they don't like giving their credit card online, much less have to memorize another password. For the communities, Vinny, what we have done from day one is we have allowed this to be free. We have worked very, very hard to make sure it's a one click. So also, Vinny, know that this is not like, now we all love Netflix. I've had Netflix for years, but I go on there and I see so many choices. I don't know what to choose, right? So this is a one click. Free, no password, nothing. And so I really encourage you to not only look at it yourself to put it on your internal system, but more importantly, tell your residents that they don't have to wait for you to do this, but they can watch this free programming and they just have to look at their Fire Stick, look at their Roku, or go on the computer and they can watch it. So there's multiple ways, Vinny, and I hope that you can take advantage of this and not look at it as another confusing program, but one that's an asset for you when all these residents – are your residents getting locked down again, Vinny, during COVID?
We had a staff meeting today that wasn't too positive. So
it's
kind of looking that way.
I hear this a lot. So I only say this because when this if this comes back, and let's pray it does not, that this can be another resource for you to help you as you're trying to deal with all those family members that want to see their loved ones and they can't get in. Or you need to get food to those rooms. You know, this is something that's not just throwing on Bonanza to let them watch TV land. This is something important, and we are behind you. We support you and all of those residents, and know that you have us in your corner to help make a difference.
I appreciate that. That means a lot. I'm really going to check this out. I didn't know it was free. Thanks so much.
Vinny, before you go, I just make sure this gets answered. Jerry, for non-residents, if they have a Roku or they have an Amazon Fire TV or they have another smart TV set, can they get it free? Do they get it free or do they have to pay a charge?
It's free everywhere, anytime, on any device.
Oh, wow. That's great. I didn't know that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You bet.
You're
Thanks
welcome,
for calling.
From West Central. Thank you so much for the call. Have a great day and a wonderful weekend.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
Vinny from Westchester joining us live on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we have Jerry Gehring with us. He is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Soapbox TV, which is available all over the place on Roku and Amazon Fire TV, where smart TV devices are. Hopefully coming up more smart TV devices and smart TV sets, and also is playing in senior communities across the nation. Jerry joins us live from Essex, Connecticut this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and we want to hear from you, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, as Vinny from Westchester did, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Coming up before the top of the hour, classic trivia question of the week, two prizes in play if you know the correct answer, and an up segment dealing with what we had last week with Rod Roddenberry, the son of the great Star Trek creator producer Gene Roddenberry. Last week was, by the way, the 100th anniversary of Gene's birth. Talk about what you're doing with the original programming. How ambitious do you want the original programming on your network to be?
Oh, Simon, man, you hit me in my soft spot with that question. So coming from theater, I am used to working with artists to create new products. So that's kind of where my heart is. You know, I love creating. I love putting other people's works up. Don't get me wrong. We have amazing partners that have brought us great content. But in my heart, that's what I like to do. So we do have programs that are in development right now. Currently, we have two unscripted. And we have three scripted that are in development. One unscripted we just announced. We kind of did something a little fun to kind of get our feet wet as COVID hopefully starts to go away in the next 6 months. So programming for us is very important. As you know, content is king. And for us, content that matters, that is smart, that is done by artists and by creators in both Hollywood and New York, that can tell a story that is meaningful, and that doesn't mean it has to be serious. It can be anything. We are now talking with those folks and creating new programming. So we will not just be a streaming service that has only pre-existing content, but we will be doing Saltbox Originals, and we are funded for some, and we are now ready to take that step.
And one of the originals you're talking about is, I mentioned this at the beginning of the program, the hour, is an America's Got Talent kind of program called Silver Stars. Explain how that's going to work.
Yes, that's right. What we discovered, and my wife, Patty, has known this for years and years, and she would visit these community centers and these CCRCs and all these communities around the country. It is amazing the story she has told me about the talented people that work and live in these facilities. I've had stories of sculptors, that one lady that we got to know sculpted figurines for Madame Tussauds Wax Museum. There are virtuoso piano players. There are amazing singers and dancers, sculptors. There are artists, pen and ink artists, all these creative people that have either had that talent their entire life or they have discovered that talent later in life, and they are at a world-class level, and they just do it for family and friends now. So what we want to do is celebrate those artists. And coming from Broadway, I think I know how to do that with my Broadway friends. So we are opened up basically an entry system where people can videotape what they do and send us a 60-second video. And we are going to craft shows very much focused in celebrating that artist's ability and also their story, which centers around their family and their life and their journey to this moment in time where they find themselves.
Given your theatrical background, along with people on your staff, have you thought about doing a Hallmark Hall of Fame or Playhouse 90 or Studio One type of project where, let's say, on a weekly basis or on a monthly basis, you offer an original play or an adaptation of a theatrical play with top talent or with new talent?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we sure have. I've got to say, I've got a lot of playwrights that have been knocking on my door the last few months. It's funny because we keep thinking of the old Texaco Theater. Remember all those old live theater shows back in the late 50s and early 60s. And we have a studio up here in Essex, Connecticut, which reminds me very much of a theater, you know, off Broadway in New York. And that has been on our discussion table for a lot of your, as you said, bring back and have filmed old scripts that people know the titles, and more importantly, develop scripts and stories that we can produce live and film in a way that matters to these older adults' lives.
Mm-hmm. Do advertisers have an opportunity to be part of this? And if so, what kind of reaction are you getting from the ad community? I would think there would be a lot of product categories. And I'm not just talking the pain relievers or the prescription drug makers, but a lot of categories who more and more are getting into approaching senior citizens or networks like yours to advertise.
Oh, you hit it! You hit it right on the head. This is the one thing I discovered. I felt like I was ignorant when I walked into this arena. As you probably know, in 2 years, all the baby boomers will be over 55. That is now the largest demographic in this country. It's not the Gen Xers. It's not the Gen Zs. It's the baby boomers. Those baby boomers account for a majority of the wealth in this country, and marketers are not marketing to them. That's not the tradition. That's not the target audience. Well, we feel like there's a huge opportunity there. Now, conversely, as you can tell in theater especially, we really take our time to make sure we got it right before we take somebody's money. We have privately funded this to this point, and we expect this fall to then flip the switch because we are an AVOD streaming service. We will be advertising supported. And we are going to start with programmatic advertising, and that will kick in this fall. But before we did that, we wanted to make sure we had it right. We had the eyeballs, and we had the systems in place so when advertisers can check us out and see what we're doing mission-wise and business-wise before we have them on our program. So you hit it right on the head. This is where our channel is going, and this is where we're going to support and grow programming and create original content because it's advertising supported.
Jerry Gehring, you are hearing this half hour on Smart Televised live from Essex, Connecticut. He is the co-founder and chief executive officer of Soapbox TV, now available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And chances are that if you are in a senior community, you may be able to get the network as well if you don't have a smart TV, so a smart TV device. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Jerry, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Stay tuned. A few minutes, classic trivia question of the week. Two prizes in play if you know the correct answer. And if you're a fan of Western TV show trivia, this question, I think, is especially great for you. So stay tuned. You could be our next winner if you get the answer in and get it to us ASAP. Jerry, speaking of financing, have you thought about trying to get either the network or individual series launched by using services like equity crowdfunding, blockchain, venture capital, NFTs, cryptocurrency? They seem to be starting all of these, and maybe others may be starting to get in vogue now in terms of ways to get not only new programming series but new services on the air.
Yes, we absolutely have. You know, coming from Broadway, we're basically all of my Broadway shows have been privately financed. So as we start to look at other ways to finance these programs, in addition to those things, we are just now reaching out to our fellow streamers to partner with them because, let's face it, older adults are everywhere. They already have these systems, and we're not trying to be the net Netflix. We're just trying to find ways to get the correct programming out to this huge demographic that's being ignored. So the funding could not only come from those private sources and those foundations, but more importantly, it could also come with our potential streaming partners that are out there. So I say this out loud because if any of the listeners here happen to be from one of those, we are now talking with, well, you can imagine who we're talking with about partnering, but we are looking to find unique partners that will go on this journey with us that also want to reach this demographic.
What's been the early reaction from viewers to what you're doing? What are they telling you about what you're putting on or what you should be putting on?
I can say without a question that we have hit a nerve that I didn't expect, and in a different way, in an intergenerational way I didn't expect. Let me tell you one short story. We're talking with one of our viewers who called in who wanted to share this with us. We have a knitting show on where you learn how to crochet and knit. And apparently she was watching this with her 12-year-old granddaughter. And her granddaughter was watching this, and she asked Grandma a lot of questions. And Grandma, you know, well, here's two needles. You do this. And now fast forward 2 months, and that's why she called us. Her granddaughter walked in the room and gave her a birthday present. She had knitted a potholder by watching one of our shows. And the grandmother was so overwhelmed that they are now doing this grandmother-granddaughter event where they get together every Sunday morning, they go to church, they come home, and they knit. Now, that's not a big dramatic, you know, we're helping dementia patients, we're doing this, but that's a moment in time when you kind of take a slight pause and you think, you know what, we just helped that family make a connection that maybe they wouldn't have made without us. So that's one example. Without throwing a bunch of data and numbers, it really comes down to the people. And what are they watching it? Are they coming back? Are the numbers growing? And I can say yes, or I don't think you and I would be talking.
Soapbox TV. It is now available on Roku and on Amazon Fire TV, hopefully available soon on other smart TV devices as well as smart TV sets. And if you're in a senior community, you may be able to get it as well. So if you want more details about the network and whether it is available as a senior community service in your area, go to www.soapbox.tv.com. It's www.soapboxtv.com. www.soapboxtv, that's all one phrase, .com. One more time, www.soapboxtv.com. Jerry Gehring, the co-founder and chief executive of the service, thank you again for coming on. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far. It sounds like there's a lot more to accomplish that's going to be coming down the pike very soon. We would love to have you back anytime, and it's been a great pleasure to be with you this half hour.
It has been an honor, Simon. Thank you so much for having us.
You're very, very welcome. To you and your crew, a very, very super weekend, and great stuff from here on in.
Thank you. Be careful in the storm coming in, Simon. Take care.
Absolutely. You got it. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Jerry Gehring from Soapbox TV joining us live from Essex, Connecticut. Time for the classic trivia question of the week. Final time we're offering this question, so get your thinking caps ready because you could win the unofficial Downton Abbey cookbook and a Tiffany & Company small picture frame if you know the answer to this question. Name the two actors who played Colt on the Western TV series Colt 45. Was on ABC from 1957 to 1960, and of course that time, not one but two actors played the title role. Name the two actors that played Colt on Colt 45. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your mailing address. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow, and if we need to all weekend long, on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. And finally, up as an update, where we catch up on guests and topics on this program. 1 week ago, in a two-hour episode, we wrapped it up with a marvelous half hour with Rod Roddenberry. Yes, he is the son of one of the great TV innovators of all time, and one of the great TV visionaries, too, the creator and producer of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry. Last week was his 100th birthday. And in the week since, Rod has decided to take his father's life story and turn it into a feature movie. And that has been announced in the last 48 hours. And Rod will be one of the executive producers of the film. He's already hired a writer. He's working on getting a production crew and somebody to play his father as well. But it is a go for a Gene Roddenberry biopic that Roddenberry Entertainment will do. If you want more details about the film and the other work that Rod is doing to preserve his father's legacy and expand it. By the way, he is one of the co-executive producers of the Star Trek shows on Paramount Plus, Star Trek Discovery, Picard, coming next year, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, coming up on Nickelodeon this fall, Prodigy, and also the possible new series with Michelle Yeoh, Section 31. For all details on that and other Roddenberry Entertainment projects, go to www.roddenberry.com, www.roddenberry.com. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. Thanks for everybody who called in and being on the chat room. Don't forget, next week, three-episode week for you, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, all at the same hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can hear all of our episodes this month and all year at that page. So do so and spread the word to your fellow fans of our program and fellow fans of TV fans as well. Don't forget, we're also available on podcast 24/7 at the iRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Speaker Podcasts, iTunes, Apple TV, Verbal, as well as Amazon Music. And we're also available 24/7 on a brand new website, tomorrowwetelevise.podsite.io. Latest episode at the top of the screen, also episodes on the bottom of the screen. Just click and you're in. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about what we highlighted and the future of television? Well, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, or find me on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. However you respond, we respond back. Why? Because what you say matters, now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Eddie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. Website services provided by PodSite, the new internet avenue for podcasts. For more details, go to podsite.io, our web coordinator, guitarist, Patrice. Tomorrow we televised, brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free book or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For tomorrow we televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Back on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 episodes all next week. You know when, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, and you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our podcast sites as well. And remember, whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. And if you still need to be vaccinated, please see your doctor, check your medical records, get a second opinion if you need to, and then make a great choice. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.